Morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody today? Good? Yeah, made it okay?
Yep.
Good week?
Yep.
Same here. All right. So I just want to start us off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and this opportunity that we can come to church and fellowship, be together amongst the saints and to be like the Ephesians and the Colossians, to love one another and to instruct one another. And we just want to do it all in your glory, all in your name. And take something today and let the Holy Spirit be the teacher. And let us have an open mind, an open heart to these truths that you've provided for us. All in your glory and your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, so we are in Colossians. We've been in Colossians, and we've been talking about the Colossians and everything that they we're going verse by verse in Colossians. And as we know, that there you have the Colossians have warnings, that they had some warnings for them about the traditions of men and everything that not to do in this world. And today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 29. I'm going to cover those. And I'm just going to kind of read through them and then let you know what we're going to be focusing on today. And so Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 29. And I want to say that appreciate the church, and I'm grateful to be up here, and grateful for all you guys, because just like a unit in a body, we all work together, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our head. So I'm very grateful and appreciative today for that, because we have just good teaching, good people. Last Sunday, Ray Seiler, his teaching was awesome, and that kind of gave me a nice boost and just the style. So I kind of want to incorporate some of that for today, just questions and answers, whatever you guys have, feel whatever's on your heart and mind, you guys can say it. And that's how we're going to move forward for today. But verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now that is the Apostle Paul speaking, and just kind of give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to get into prophecy, we're going to get into the mystery, what that is, and kind of go verse by verse here. But so verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? That's Paul rejoicing in his sufferings, and we know all the things that Paul went through, shipwrecks, beatings, jail time, and all the infirmities that he went through. And that's what he's saying here. And fill up that which is behind. Does anybody know what he means by that which is behind? Does anybody know what the behind word is?
The life he had lived prior to.
Like just behind. So the word behind, what is that? So what? So what is lacking? So I want to say the behind is what is lacking. So in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is lacking of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So Christ died and suffered, and we remain and suffer. And we are to fill up that which is lacking, like the apostle did. So we suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ today. And just like Paul did. And we're to fill up that kind of void that, you know, us as Christians, we should get into, because this is what's going to happen when you properly serve the Lord. You're going to have issues. People aren't going to agree with you. There's going to be, you know, and then there's different kind of, there's physical infirmities, there's material infirmities. So, you know, prosperity preachers will tell you, well, if you, you know, they'll bring up verses that, oh, well, if you, you know, whatever you pray for, that's what you'll get. But, you know, we get sick and, you know, there's a lot of people that are sick and they don't feel good, and they're like, and they pray, and they think that they're supposed to get healed. But sometimes you don't get healed, and that's just a thing in today's dispensation of grace. Back then, they would take up serpents, drink deadly things, and they would pray, and they would, you know, pray for. In James, it says, "Prayer shall save the sick." You know, but today, that's not how it goes. The whole creation groaneth. We're all together, you know, groaning, you know, Romans 8 says, and that we're all together in this, and it's not, God doesn't promise that he's going to heal you for today, and that we will go through things, and that's kind of a physical material. They had to sell all their goods, silver, gold, all their possessions, you know, and us, you know, God tells us to provide for our house, or else we are an infidel. And we're supposed to provide and take care of our household. That's our duty for today. Give systematically, you know, and to be a cheerful giver. And to what's purposed in your heart. So the 10% tithing is not mandatory. That's not. And you see in chapter 2, you see the warnings of those things. But that's the traditions of men he's talking about. But it's not mandatory. You give what's out of your heart. And that's the, you know, the some of the infirmities today. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Now, this is Peter. This is just kind of to give you a physical where you could actually see what the apostles, even though the apostle Paul is our apostle, you can get some stuff. All of scripture is profitable. So, Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Throughout the beginning of Acts, you know, the apostles were getting persecuted and had to go before, you know, the powers that be. And Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And you'll see that this is Peter. So they were before the council. We're going to do verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Well, you know, thank God that we're not in that kind of situation today here in America, that we're getting beaten for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, they counted themselves worthy, you know, that it, you know, to have shame in his name. And that's something that we should kind of want to, you know, apply in our thinking in this, you know, for when we're out in the world, you know, because they want to, like Ray was saying, they want to kind of generalize God. But once you start talking about the Lord Jesus, everybody wants to back up and be like, whoa, who's, you know, they want to kind of step back or get bad or something. Because as we all know, and we've seen earlier in Colossians chapter 1, that he's God. The Lord Jesus is the creator, and he's God. So that's just some things that we go through. But we can go back to Colossians. Move forward. You know, and studying verse by verse is a good way to kind of get yourself, you know, studying on your own, because that's one of the ultimate goals for us, is to study on our own, to do our own studies, find out if them things are so for ourselves. Because you can hear a preacher here, a teacher here and there, but so much more better that if you can just go on yourself and be able to see these for yourself so you can present them to the others. Present it to others. So verse 25, Colossians 1 verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill, which is also meaning complete the word of God. So Apostle Paul completes the word of God. And without the Apostle Paul, then the word of God wouldn't be completed. And because we all, as we know, that the Lord, most of the Bible is written to Israel, and then you have Paul's epistles, which is a whole complete different thing. And he is the minister, he is an apostle to Gentiles. And there's so much in God's word that shows that he's to the Gentiles. You know, there's in Romans 11, 13, it says, apostle to the Gentiles. And he is our pattern. 1 Timothy 1:16 says that he is our pattern. We're supposed to patternize ourselves over this guy. This is the one that we're supposed to for today. It's not the 12, as we all know, but it's always good to kind of recap. But I mean, a pattern is something that you go, you know, like if you do a stencil, you go over that pattern. That's what we're supposed to be doing, the things that he was doing and what he's saying, because he is our pattern. And I don't know, just to kind of quick, so I went over, I think I'm pretty sure, briefly, the two gospels, the two kind of main gospels, the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of the kingdom. And it says those word for word. Does anybody know where in Acts does it say the gospel of the grace of God? Which chapter? Acts 20:24. So, and that's just to kind of see if you thought of it off the top of your head. So it's when you're talking to somebody, you want to be able to think these things in front of others and be like, hey, it's to Acts chapter 20:24. Here it is. Gospel. And does anybody know where the gospel of the kingdom, where it says in Matthew, what chapter? Well, it's in
Matthew 24:14.
I don't know if that one, but I got chapter
935.
I got 935. Yeah. So this is just kind of get you guys okay. Well, but there are two gospels, and that's a big issue. So that, I'm not going to get too much into that, but that's a big. Most of the world is going by the gospel of Matthew chapter 9, and we know and understand that we're supposed to be in Acts 20:24. But that, I mean, that's where it says the gospel, and we know our gospel is 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And so, just so you guys can kind of be like, okay, well, this is it. So, if you guys want to do your own study and know, because there are two gospels, and you can ask a lot of people, and they'll be like, oh, it's just the good news. But no, the Lord makes a distinction between the two. So, and you know, in Matthew 10:5, he instructs the 12, go not into the way of the Gentiles. I mean, it's that word "not" is big. He says, don't go into the way of the Gentiles. You know, and he's obviously the apostle for the Gentiles. So the 12, that shows you right there that it was two different things. And Peter in Acts 2 is, he's always saying, ye men of Israel. In Acts chapter 3, ye men of Israel. He's talking to Israel. He's not talking to the Gentiles. So, and God didn't forget about the Gentiles. So that's why we have the dispensation of grace and the mystery. I mean, we got Isaiah 42:1 and 63, where he talks that the Gentiles are going to have some kind of, but he doesn't, the mystery was always kept a secret, but God never forgot about the Gentiles, obviously, because we got it going on today. So, amen. So, to that. But, all right, we're going to go back to Colossians. Colossians, verse 26. And here's the big thing here. I have another question. What is the key to understanding the Bible? So, there's two points. So, if you really want to understand the Bible, and what is everybody missing in the world, so that we know here as truth here in Faith Bible Church. So does anybody know what is the key to understanding the Bible? Huh? Yeah, that's God's will. But does anybody know what? So here's one. One is rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's one key, because the world doesn't rightly divide. So the clue is in verse 26. That word mystery. The one. So if you and there's a book that that I was doing for the Berean Bible Institute, and it's called "The Key to Unlocking the Scriptures." And the one key is that prophecy and mystery, knowing the difference. We know the difference between those. If once you know that, then the Bible becomes plain and clear. There's no, oh well, this says this and then this says this. You know, the one minute God's saying one thing and the other minute he's saying this. But once you understand the differences between prophecy and mystery, all those clear up, all those questions, all that confusion. And that is one of the keys, and rightly dividing the word of truth, because there's ways to wrongly divide, and that's what most of the world does. And they wrongly divide, and they kind of tie in the kingdom, that what the kingdom's going on, and they tie it in for today, which they miss what I was getting with the book of Acts. The Acts is transition. So when do you see that at the beginning, kind of is talking about the kingdom, and all of a sudden, boom, in chapter 9, it switches off. It does a whole different curveball, and that the Lord, and that was the secret. So, and that secret, so we see even, so let's go to verse 26. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So this mystery was hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So if you didn't even know about that, you'd be like, what is that? You know, it was what was hid. And then Deuteronomy 29:21-29 says that the secret things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God. So if God wants to keep something a secret, he can, because he's God and he's sovereign. So this secret is our blessing. I mean, do you really want to do the 613 laws and do an animal sacrifice and having... And we're Gentiles, so we were the dogs, so we had to go to the Jews. So I'm glad we have a equal standing with that. So, and mystery, I mean, you guys heard it a bunch of times. The Greek is mysterion, but it also means secret. So it's a secret. So, and God is sovereign. He can keep secrets all he wants until it's time to fulfill them. And so you have that difference between prophecy and mystery, and we could see that in, we can go to, we'll just kind of brush through these, but Luke chapter 1, verse 68 and 70. And this is going to prove what the prophecy is. What is this difference between prophecy? And prophecy, so we know about mystery, Luke chapter 1, verse 68 to 70. So the mystery is the secret that God hid before the world began, for the Gentiles, so that we can, and we become a level ground with the Jews. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is our head. And in prophecy, the prophets spoke this since the world began, and they were waiting on their king, which is to reign in Israel. And Luke chapter 1. So yeah, which is a total different thing. So they were waiting on the kingdom, and then we have a heavenly hope, and they have an earthly hope. That's the two different. So, and which I'm loving. I want to go to heaven, you know. So, and I know we're going to be there. Luke chapter 1, Verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. So that's all Israel, kingdom, David's throne. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So you see that that's since the world began. And we can go to, let's jump to Ephesians chapter 3. So now we see what that prophecy is. And then we're going to see this kind of language now, the difference in the language here. Alright, and we're going to kind of maybe start from verse 1, because we're going to cover all these. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. So there we go. That's one thing right there that's proof that he's for the Gentiles. I should have went to Acts, but you guys can do the Acts chapter 2. You see that Paul, Peter is ye men of Israel. So, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. So if you kind of remember what in verse 25, in back in Colossians, is given to me for you. So that's same language. In Ephesians and Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote these in prison. So these are, you know, these are, these guys are Gentiles. This church is Gentile. Colossians are Gentile. The Ephesians are Gentile. Paul writes to the Gentile. And this dispensation of grace of God, so a ministration, or that this word dispensation is like ministration, or I forgot what the other one was, but that grace of God, that's a whole different language of kingdom. So verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So it wasn't known to these guys. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So there goes that gospel, which the Apostle Paul, but that fellow heirs. I mean, I've said this before, but it just always gets to me. We're going to reign with the Lord. So the Lord's going to be our head in heaven, but we're also going to be reigning with him. And that is something that we can, when you think about it, he's not just going to be like a tyrant over us, you know, when we die and go to heaven. He's going to be, okay, well, we're going to be together. It's going to be like it's going to be glorious. So I always like seeing that. Whereof I am made a minister. There goes that minister word again. According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, which created all things by Jesus Christ. So, that every time I read it, it just pops in me, you know. So that mystery, that is, God kept this a secret. And in I think it's Acts 3:23, the determinate counsel of God. God knew all this before. God Jesus before is called God the Son, and God the Father and the Holy Spirit had a council before they did anything. They're like, alright, well, you're going to die and you're going to save humanity, past, present, and future, and we're going to have this thing called the mystery, and we're going to bring this out, and we're going to bless the Gentiles in this. But this isn't going to last forever, because we have a hope. That's that one of our hopes is the rapture. So once we get raptured up, then it's going to get back to prophecy. So, and we got a chart back there that shows, but the prophecy gets interrupted, but it's a planned interruption. So they were supposed to accept the Messiah, and they never did. So the Lord had to intervene, and when he made the Apostle Paul didn't learn anything from Peter. He didn't get none of his revelations from the 12. He got it straight from the Lord Jesus Christ. Straight from him. And it wasn't Peter got his from the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. He got his when the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he got his from a heavenly hope. And there's all these clues and signs that show you. And once you kind of incorporate what's going on here, this will help you to share God's word and to understand it. Because you know what? I've never been more happier than I ever been now. And that is to when I've stuck my nose in this word and got more serious, I've never been more happier. And trust me, I've been around the block a few times. So, and this is peace, true peace, like he says. We covered that last Sunday when I taught last. It was about the peace of God, and that it's true peace that I have, and I really do have it, and I'm grateful for that. So, and it's all because of the Lord and His Word. And now I understand, because I'm the type of guy that likes to know what's going on in the world. So I follow what's happening in the country. I follow Ukraine. I follow these things. But I used to follow them a little too much, to where that's all I would talk about. But it just is a beautiful thing, because now you understand what's behind that. You know, it's not... That's always going to be. We're here to help save souls. We're not here to save the world. You know, that's the world. That's the Lord. He's going to do that when He reigns on the earth. That's that prophecy. We're not here to save the world. So the people that want to get on, we're saving the world, and we're saving this, and we're saving that. We're our job is to save souls. And I know it's hard, and we don't do the best job. I know I don't, but I try. I try to do what I can, you know. So, and as long as you try, the Lord sees that, and you can have assurance in that. And that's what Colossians 2:2 says: the full of assurance of your understanding. You want to be sure. You want to be sure what you understand in this word, and to be sure of it, you know them two keys to the Scripture, which is rightly dividing, and knowing that there's the true difference in the Bible is between prophecy and mystery. And when you see that and understand that, you are part of a percent that the world is part of, that 90+%, and you become part of everyone wants to be part of the small percent, right? 3%, 5%. Well, if you know this, you become that truly. And it's not, they want to make fun of you, mockery, but I didn't get into that verse, but in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, I think it is that my grace is sufficient for thee. The Apostle Paul, you know, he made the weak things of his to confine the strong, and the Apostle Paul was saying, he was telling him, I told the Lord three times, and the Lord said, no, you got to stay. My grace is sufficient for thee. That's all you need. He ain't gonna come down and heal us, because, and I forgot to say, is that God, He uses. Let me see. I wanted to touch on this. I got it somewhere, but He uses. I don't know where it's at, but honestly, I think I had natural infirmities, like just naturally, you know, whatever was going on in my life. But if I was like, you know, God uses people who are sick. Look at Pastor Paul Belbach. When he got sick, he was preaching the word in the church and everything, and it kind of humbles you. It makes you lean on God when you're feeling down or low. And so them things, whenever I always say, when something bad's happening, something's good's happening. So you want to find that good, what's happening, because when you have infirmity, it makes you want to lean on God more. What is the first thing that people do when they're about to die or something? They start praying, right? Because this is the natural thing, that you want to lean on God, and there is a God. So there's a creator, there's a God, and that's the triune God who we worship here. Because without that, what do you want to say? Oh, well, I believe in reincarnation. I'm going to be a butterfly or something. Well, nah, what kind of hope is that? You know what I mean? You know, and that's what the world is infesting in, you know, like these doctrines. And that's what the Colossians is talking about, the traditions of men. Don't go by that stuff. That stuff's junk. How, you know, God tells you to be, God, he teaches you about salvation. He tells you to be a good person and follow what's going on in this. This is how you be a good person. You follow Paul's epistles. You want to be a good person and do the right thing? This is where it's at. Because I know I've been to other churches and or just meeting people, and they do so many good things, but they're unhappy. They don't have joy. I have joy, and I don't have the perfect life, but I feel joy, and I'm appreciative of that. And it's through the help of the Lord and everyone here, my family, friends. I've done, the church family. I've done things that I, you know, there's times that probably should be dead, but now I'm not. So I want to redeem the time, like Paul was saying. So I'm grateful for that, and that's the kind of. And I don't want to make it about me, but this is good stuff here. So, all right, and just to kind of run over prophecy and mystery real quick is that prophecy is a kingdom established on earth. Mystery is a living organism, a position in heaven, the body. So those are two different things. And Apostle Paul is always talking about the body. Look, I forgot to mention that in verse 24. For his body's sake, which is the church. He's always bringing up the body, the head, all these things. And what else? We have Christ is in prophecy, he is mentioned as king. In mystery, he's mentioned as a living head. And I don't want to get into too much of the verses, but there's so many verses that show this. Israel is supreme over over the nations in prophecy. Today, we're all the same. When you're saved, God isn't going, oh, well, this guy's better than that person. This guy's better than this person. He sees us all the same. The same ground. And as we're about to get into it right now, that he used to deal with nations. Now he kind of deals with individuals today. And that's that individual relationship with Christ. That individual relationship with Christ. So right now he sees you in Christ, and we all have the same standing. So no one is better than no one here. But that individual relationship with Christ knows what you got in store, the riches and the treasures that he's got for you. That's between you and him. He's going to hook you up when it's that time. You know, but right now, we're all the same, and we're all want to be helping each other, you know, being there for each other. So, and I'm not the, like I said, I'm not the best, but I will, you know, I try to make myself available. In prophecy, the Gentiles were blessed through Israel. Through Israel's instrumentality. And in the mystery, Gentiles blessed through Israel's obstinacy. So we're blessed through their fall. And before we were blessed through their reign, you know, through their rise. And that's, so we, so it's a total different thing. I mean, you had to be a proselyte Jew back then. Now the Lord just tells you to, You know, they had to be doing, keep doing work after work after work for their salvation. You know, and us now, we just say, hey, I believe, and now you're saved, boom. You know, it really is that easy, you know, and it really is. Okay? The Lord says the simplicity in Christ. It really is that simple. Just believe without works. And that's the first step of your salvation. And then everything else is from there. You know, it's on you. Now it's like, okay, how much do you really want to serve the Lord? And trust me, you ain't getting, you know, a lot of, I feel like people think that Christianity is soft. You know, where, well, learning this is like soft and you become like weaker. But no, you still can be bold. You still can be assertive. You can still, you know, stand up for what you believe in. Yeah, I mean, you could still, it's not like you become like this, oh, I'm holy and, you know, lowly. No, you can still stand tall. You could still be, you know, a manly man, because, I mean, because that's, and a lot of people get that mixed up, because, you know, here in America, this is a very great country, and America had a worldview of the Bible. So they were kind of trying to incorporate biblical teaching into the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And as you see, they were obviously not perfect, but it was the best that we've had in, you know, in all of history, from what I understand. And if once you incorporate all the biblical practices, we got the toughest guys here. You know, how long has it been and nobody wanted to mess with us? You know, it wasn't perfect. I'm not saying it was perfect, but it was, you know, we had kind of that background of Christian and God and the Lord Jesus, you know, even though they weren't rightly dividing all the time. But, I mean, that's how I kind of see it, so. And we said that it concerns nations and individuals. And let's see. So I did want to mention one thing. Was the... have you ever heard of spiritual... They say that they're spiritual Israel. That we... they call it spiritualization. I read it in Stam's book. That is what I kind of... it's like a commentary that... Ray gave me, and he was talking about this, and I've heard about this before, but I never kind of seen it. But they call it spiritualization, that the prophecies of Christ reigning over Israel as king was meant as him as the head in heaven. So they're kind of saying, well, since the kingdom didn't come, we kind of are, you know, they're basically not taking the scriptures for what it says. You know, that Christ is going to reign on earth. And then they're like, well, he kind of met heaven, and that we're spiritual Israel today, but that's not, they're not rightly dividing, and they don't know the difference between prophecy and mystery. So once you don't know that, you kind of fall into just like, okay, this is what I think it means. And it's, from what I understand, it's a big problem. So, and it's a big problem on veering people to knowing the truth, and it opens the door for theologians to interpret God's word however they want. It also strikes down God's honor. So, and God doesn't play with his honor, and it strikes down what he said plainly in his word. You know, and he said that there's a heavenly hope, there's an earthly hope, and throughout all those Old Testament scriptures, you see that it's earthly, and Paul's epistles is heavenly. So, yeah, they're trying to make the Old Testament prophecies harmonize with the present dispensation. So if you hear about that, if you hear someone saying that they're spiritual Israel, you can kind of say, well, there's prophecy and mystery. This is where your guys are confused on, and this is what it is. So, so just to kind of recap, you know, we're, as our conduct here in, knowing that we're in the mystery and we have a conduct, we are to walk worthy. You know, Ephesians 4:1 says, give our bodies a living sacrifice. So we want to, you know, do them as much as we can for the Lord, you know. give the testimony of reconciliation. So we went through that, but that's in 2 Corinthians 5:18, 21. And that's the ministry where we're reconciling. We're trying to get people, that's that saving souls, trying to get people onto the ministry of reconciliation, just trying to get them, reel them in to, you know, and that's one of our things. And I went through Colossians 2:2 to have the full assurance of understanding. We want to be fully assured of what we understand. Because God is not a God of confusion. You know, He's not a God of confusion. He's, you know. And I shared this with, I went to the rehab center that Paul Belbach kind of put me on. But I shared this with them that, you know, liberals or the left or whoever is talking about it, they want to say that there is no God and that science proves it. But there's plenty of scientific evidence that proves that there's a God. And the one I like to use the most is that information gives birth to information. So that's one thing that science loves. That's the main, one of their main things, that a rock doesn't give birth to something living. So our DNA as humans has the most compact, complex DNA information in it. It's complex, the most, anything in this universe that scientists understand. And that means, so if information gives birth to information, something intelligent had to give birth to us. So that's one science, and there's plenty of them. There's the law of entropy, there's plenty to go, you know, that we can talk about. But that's the one I like, because it's just, it just flies in the face of that there is no God. That's, no, I'm good. But we went over Ephesians 3. Let's see. So I'm going to do a few more. Let's go to, you know what? Let's just go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now, this is something good. If you guys want to read something in Galatians chapter 2, Peter acknowledges that Paul is to do his thing and Peter's supposed to do his thing. And acknowledges Paul in his position. Peter, who's the chief of the 12, okay? So most of the world wants to follow Peter because they use that verse in Matthew that he's been giving the keys to heaven, you know, and that's where Catholicism kind of wants to take that. But Peter even acknowledges Paul, and that was in Galatians. And here, this is another acknowledgement of Peter. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That's for everyone. That's we want salvation. That's the goal. Salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, this is Peter speaking, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Isn't that true today? A lot of people, it's hard for them to understand. Even Peter couldn't even understand it. And he was the main guy. He's like, man, what Paul had going on, I couldn't even understand it. Because Peter was, he was in prophecy. He was all in the kingdom. So when this mystery that was kept secret, he's just a man. He can't understand everything. So this is him saying, it was hard for me to understand. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. I mean, the other scriptures is the Paul's epistles. That's the other scriptures that he's talking about. Unto their own destruction. So he's saying, it's hard to understand, but them guys are, you know. I'm sure we're all blessed today that we understand these things. Because even Peter couldn't even understand them. So and he was one of the top guys. He was a big shot. So we're all big shots today, huh? So that's another scripture that we can kind of bring up, but we can close in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go back to Ephesians. This will be the last verse. Oh, and then I'll finish off Colossians after this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And this is another, it's like a sister verse to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. It's the gospel that saves, but, and hath raised, Ephesians 2, 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places. There goes another one. Heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches. And that's that. I didn't get to that verse yet, but we're going to read it afterward. The exceeding riches of his grace. There goes. It's all Pauline. Not doctrine, but in language. And in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. See, he's kind to us for this. You know, he don't got to do this for us. Who are we? The creator? So kind to us? See, that's what I'm saying. I'd rather choose a creator that's kind to me. This dude dies and raised himself from the dead. You know, he saves me. He gives me a new body. He lets me reign with him. See, that's a hope. What, Buddha? Buddha, you know, or Muhammad? Or all these other things, if you see their life, if you study their lives, it's nothing compared to this. Nothing compared to this. So, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This salvation is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, what would thing we would do if we boasted? Well, I did this to get to heaven, or I did this. Oh man, I'm so great! No, this was all the Lord Jesus, all of it, and that's the mystery is encompassed in, the mystery, the Lord Jesus is. So let's go back to Colossians, and this is going to be the end. We'll finish off these verses. And this is how you when you want to study on your own, you compare scripture with scripture. This is those scriptures, Ephesians 3 and Colossians chapter 1 here. They had a lot, you know, the same. Ephesians 2, a lot of the same language, and you kind of see that it's all the same. So we'll finish reading verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. We are saints, to whom God calls us saints, okay? To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery. These are riches among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We got glory. We got some glory coming. Nice hope. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that perfect in Christ Jesus is spiritual maturity. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Apostle Paul, the thing that was working in him was mighty. And it's the same thing that's working in us. And we got might. We have power. Resurrection power. We have something that was never before this. We have something that the world wishes they had. We have peace. We have power. We have might. We have boldness. We have assurance. We have all these things. And that's something we could take and share with others. So hopefully this prophecy and mystery, the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, you see that Peter acknowledged him and called it the other scriptures. and called it that it was hard to understand because it is, and certain for the world. But when you see the simplicity in it, there's no going back. So, thank you for listening. I hope you guys got some things out of it. But I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, real quick, did you guys want to have any questions, comments, or anything? Good? All right, cool. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity again, and thank you for everyone here that hopefully that it kind of resonated, and they and that the Holy Spirit took hold of that, and that it glorified you, and that we could take this and be better, be better stewards, be better family members, be better husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and to be able to glorify you and to honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen.